tempesta e l'aria fresca pare già una festa. Che bella cosa una giornata sole.
Bentornati tifosi napoletani to another edition of Noi Tifiamo Napoli podcast on the Far From Vesuvius Network. I'm your host, as always, Rafa Rispo, and finally we have Daniel Russo back. Dan, what's going on, bro?
And I've been itching to get back on. How's it going?
It's good, man. But even though we've taken quite a bit of a hiatus here too, it doesn't have a lot to do with, you know, the performance against Atalanta and, you know, the break that we had. You know, by the way, shout out to everybody I ran into at the Italy game in Jersey. It's been that long since, I've been on here, but I was supposed to do shows all the way through. And my apologies to everybody listening who has been waiting on us. But, few things happening in life and few things coming up, it's just hard to get everybody together at the same time, and I didn't really want to come back on without Dan, so I'm happy to be back here. Dan, happy to be back talking about Napoli. So much has gone on, and it's also pretty nice to come back on to a nice win, right? I mean, I talked about the loss to Atalanta after the break, 3-0 at home, terrible. It was almost as if we were ready, and I was ready, honestly, to, finally admit that Champions League may not happen this season, you know, for next season, coming to terms with it, stuff like that. You know, and then we go into the game with Monza, right? And we come in, you know.
Even that first half,
right? It's same old shit, right? In the first half, they get the goal.
Absolutely.
It's funny too, Dan, because I was watching with my cousin Dan at the shop, and I said to him, you know, I should have made a bet because we didn't really do bets this week either. So sorry about the non-bets on the Far From Vesuvius and the non-podcast for Far From Vesuvius bets on Napoli. But I told Dan, I said, hey, I should have bet for Zerbin to score or assist in this game, and he
played phenomenal. Why? Honestly, I loved him.
Yeah, dude. And I was like, for some reason, I had this feeling that he was gonna contribute, and he did. Assisted the first goal.
Hey, well, you know, it's that thing, you know, where. Not to say like he has an animosity for us, obviously, because I don't really think he does. I don't think he possibly could, because we did give him chances as well.
Sure.
And he even played pretty good when he was on, actually. I can't say that he was terrible. I don't think he's Napoli quality, but...
No, he wasn't terrible. And, you know, I think it was in, you know, the fashion that we were ready to let him go on loan, obviously. I think it was supposed to be to Frosinone, and then it didn't work out, and it went to Monza. But
it was that whole Popovic debacle.
That's right.
That made us let him go.
That's right. So then, you know, he gets the goals in the Super Cup. You know, the game against Fiorentina in the Super Cup. By the way, you know, before we go anywhere else, I'd like to take a moment to pay respects to Joe Barone with Fiorentina. Haven't been able to do that on the air yet. And he wasn't a family friend, Dan, but he was a friend of a friend, of a dear friend. Like, so our community and personally in the family sort of felt that, you know, I mean, my dad knows Rocco Commisso. They go way back to the 70s in the Bronx, probably with your dad.
For real, yeah. I know this whole community is very intertwined.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's always really sad to see somebody pass away at such a young age.
Yeah, and like in the fashion that he did, too, you know, I mean.
Right.
It was such a scene that all of Fiorentina had to postpone the game against Atalanta. So they're a game, you know, they have a game in hand. And, you know, I just wanted to really come out here and, you know, pay my respects to him and to the Fiorentina fans, the family, everybody's fan, you know, families and all that stuff. And it's just, you know, so, you know, life takes over when it comes to the stuff like that, you know, and right. You know, there's a lot more important than just this football thing, even though that was his life. You know what I mean? He had family, he had kids, you know, and he was a really nice guy for all accounts. So, you know, rest in peace, Joe Barone. And our condolences definitely go out to you and your family. And, so now back to Napoli, right? Again, we came into the Monza game. We made a few changes in the lineup. Calzona decided to go with Oliveira on the left, but the same center back duo of Juan Jesus and Rachmani with Di Lorenzo on the right. And then in the midfield, instead of Traore, he went back to Zielinski. With Lobotka and Anguissa, and then Kvara, Osimhen, and Ngong's got a start too, instead of Politano, which surprised me actually, but I think it was refreshing to see, especially at the start of the game, like before kickoff. It was nice to see Ngong's getting a start. I was a little worried about Zielinski because, you know, Zielinski's 1 foot out the door.
Got his head in the clouds. But
up in Milan,
you know, like you said, it was nice to see some elements to the team be changed up because of how poor it's been. Especially Traore. Like, I know I sung his praises when he first came, and he was proving me right. But man, that Atalanta game really, even just the Atalanta game. I think pretty much every game since. What was the game after the Juve game? Because the Juve game, he was still okay. But I think it might have been Barcelona right away again, no?
I believe it was Barcelona second, right like, away. Yeah.
That ever since that game, it's been horrendous. He's been terrible. I don't remember any good things he's done since. And honestly, if it's not Traore, who is it? It's Zielinski or it's Kajust. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're short. We're short right now. Obviously, I mean, we'll get to the second half whenever we get there in the pod, but it didn't look like it was working in the first half, I'll tell you that.
No.
Tell you that much.
It did not look like it was working. The game after Juve was Torino, actually.
Torino.
And then the second leg of the Barcelona tie. Yeah, the Torino 1-1. So that's how we started. Monza with Di Gregorio, Birindelli, Izzo, Pablo Mari, and Caldirola, Akpro, and Gagliardini with the double pivot, Colpani, Mota, and Zerbin. And then Juric. And, you know, Monza came in, what, riding right behind us, and a win for them would have tied us with points. And you know, they got off to a really hot start, like we mentioned earlier. Zerbin with the assist down the flank, sends it in for a perfect cross. Juric at the head gets on it, and we give up a goal again, and we give up a goal first again, and now we have to play catch-up. And I got to be honest with you, the first half was dreadful. It was absolutely horrendous. And I felt nothing good about it.
it's come to the point where, like, I just watch and I'm numb, you know? Yeah. I just watch and I just watch just because, I don't know, it's almost like you're...
It's a drug.
Obviously, I don't have a kid yet, and I don't know how it is with your kids, but, like, if you'd have to take them to, like, a basketball game or something on a Saturday and you really don't want to be there, but you just go there because, you know, you have to.
Well, Dan, I coach the kids. So I don't want to be there to coach.
You know? There you go. You know,
it's you know, you got to take a Saturday off. You got to do something during the week. You got to, you know, you work and you take care of your kids, but then you got to go like wrestle around with like another set of kids that you just don't want to deal with, and it's very difficult to do that, especially at first, and especially when you get people, kids who've never touched a ball in their life, because every session it's always something like that. But it's like that. Watching Napoli is like that. It's like it's sacrificing for what, you know, like for what we saw in the first half, like waking up early in the morning. Like, we got to wake up at 6:30 in the morning to watch Frosinone.
Bro, we woke up. Yeah, we woke up at 7:30 in the morning. When was it? The other weekend, yeah, just to get trashed by Atalanta.
Watch the garbage.
And not that Atalanta is some terrible team. Not to say that. I didn't mean to make it sound like that. But like,
no, but if you
got you're at home. You have to put a product out for these fans.
You're right. But let's quickly, before we go to Monza and dive in deep in the second half, because there's nothing to talk about in the first half. 1-0 down, we went to the locker room, hung our heads. Our fans' whistles were louder than Monza's fans' cheers. It is insane, absolutely insane. Meritiamo più and
meritiamo di, yeah, più, like, togliamo vaffanculo lo scudetto. Yeah, meritiamo più rispetto. What?
I have a problem with big time. I'm never vaffanculo lo scudetto. No. No, 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 no.
No, I don't think you. I think you're taking it too literally, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Because I get it's like I do, but I wouldn't.
I think what they're trying to say, is like, you can't hide behind that guys anymore. You know what I mean? Like, oh, just because you won a scudetto, now you're infallible. You know what I mean? That's the way we were the first like 6 months of the season.
I understand. You know? Yeah. I understand the context of it too. I get that they're not actually saying, you know, so what about, you know, forget the scudetto. They're not saying that. I know that. But at the same time, I would never bring that scudetto up in the first place. Like, we've been yearning for that scudetto. Okay. Meritiamo di più? Perfect. We do. We deserve more. Right. Fine. But I don't know if I would even, like, bring that scudetto up. That scudetto was moments that we'll never forget. And then we're already coming back to almost a year from the day that we won the scudetto, and this movie is coming out and everybody's getting all teary-eyed again. But meanwhile, we've got Curva singing, you know, vaffanculo scudetto. And you know, it is what it is, but at the same time, like, I don't blame Curva or Curva B or anybody for being so frustrated with this club. I don't, after that first half, I was just like, you know, and here's the thing, Dan, like, and Sundays that we open the shop at 10 o'clock. So at 9 o'clock, you know, I'll come in with some donuts and some coffee. Me and my cousin will watch the game for an hour. Then we'll open up, and then whatever happens, happens. Normally, I close my book until 11 to, you know, to continue watching the second half. Then my first customers come in. Meanwhile, if there's walk-ins, you know, and everyone's working, I'll take them. But that wasn't the case for this. Like, we sat there for the whole second half as well, and I didn't need to, you know, it wasn't a busy Sunday. People were still away on vacation. It was spring break here, plus the whole thing with the eclipse the next day. People were not back up here, you know, so, like, it wasn't a busy Sunday. But I I told my cousin, I said, you know what, fuck it, I'm taking walk-ins because this is trash, you know? Turns out something happened in that locker room.
I don't know what they'll happen at halftime. I mean, I heard some things that, like, Calzona got on they called him the senatori on the team, you know, the guys that have been there for longer. He got on them, and all of a sudden that's what sparked this change in the second half, because you saw it immediately. Like, they came out for blood. I don't know what the hell they ate at halftime, but
Me neither.
Maybe they got some of Bangsbo's juice from Atalanta.
Seriously. I mean, we had an early substitution. We saw Politano getting ready to come in at halftime. He didn't get in until it was the 55th minute. Like 51st, 52nd,
yeah.
Yeah, so Ngong spent another 10 minutes in the first half or in the second half. I'm pretty sure. He put the ball in the net, but it was offside. So Napoli right away.
Yeah, he had an offside goal, which was just
exactly. It was for sure. But it was good to see us, you know, with a sense of urgency early in the half. You know, we were only down by one to a team in Monza, which, like I said, are right behind us. But we could have beat them. You know, we could beat. This is, you know, it's not they're not unbeatable. Monza, we could beat. So you know, for Ngong to put the ball in the net, and then, you know, okay, 55th minute, let's put Politano in, let's get him back in. And my God, the Politano that we saw was just the Politano that we've been craving for, isn't it? But
past the goal, which is probably one of the best goals I've ever seen an Napoli player score. Yeah. But besides the goal, I mean, That's my frustration with this guy, because it's like he has so much talent. He's always had so much talent, and it takes him getting a kick in the ass for him to wake up, you know, like to not start. That's what we saw for his whole Napoli career, with Lozano being on all the time instead of him, then, you know, Politano getting in. And that's, you know, the way it is. But I don't know, man. Very frustrating player, but it was awesome to see. Politano, he's just a guy that he has so much talent. And I know a lot of people disagree with me anyway, but I see it. I've always seen a lot of talent with him, even through since his Sassuolo days. Sorry, a lot of S's going on over there. Even since the Sassuolo days. But what frustrates me the most with him is that it seems as though he can only show it if he gets a kick in the ass. Like what happened on Sunday, where he didn't get the start, finally, after many, many months of me pleading with Calzona or Mazzarri, whoever it was, to please not start this guy. Because ever since his renewal, he hasn't been showing anything to us. But yeah, I mean, Sunday he came on, he looked like a monster. His first touch, I don't know if you remember, this first touch was like incredible. He took the ball down, took a high ball down perfectly, as if it was like it looked like Messi. Like, yeah, I don't mean to put them in the same sentence, but
no,
that's what it looked like.
No, you're right. So I also should probably add that Ngong came off because he had a yellow card, but there were probably other factors too. I mean, Politano coming in, fresh legs, need a kick in the butt. Sterling Gong.
I did like Ngong in the game.
Yeah, I did
though.
Too. I did too, and he got a high rating. Let's shout him out right now. He had a 7.1, so that's not bad. You know, like I said, he put the ball in the net, but then Monza made a double substitution in the 54th minute with Bondo coming in for Aka Akpro, and then Churia coming in for Zerbin. Looked like Zerbin might have been an injury. I don't really remember. But Politano comes in also for Ngong, and then right away it makes an impact because a minute after that, Napoli draw level when Anguissa, what a beautiful cross, beautiful. And then Osimhen with probably the header of his career.
It just doesn't make sense that a human being could do what he did.
The ups that he had, and then the wherewithal to get the ball to the head, and then the spill he took also.
But the power on that header, it's like it was like a shot. Freak of nature.
Just the spill he took, you know, unbelievable. He bangs his face on the ground. Napoli score, they're level, and it was one of those things where, like, I was really excited and happy to see that we scored, and at the same time, I'm arguing with some friends on WhatsApp chat, and you know, the negativity on the chat, and you guys know who you are. I'm not gonna shout you all out, but you know who you are. You're pains in my asses is what you guys are. But anyway, there was just so much negativity, and I'm like trying to spew a little bit of positivity. Like, you know what, guys? We're talking a lot of garbage here, blah, blah, blah. We're going to be fine. They're all going into next year. They're panicking, and I get it. We're looking like crap, and I do. I get it. But I said, listen, let's let this game finish, and then we'll talk shit, you know? And as soon as I said that, we scored the goal, and there we go, you know? And, yeah, that was that. And then literally 2 minutes later, Politano strike, man. Like, it's funny because the chat was saying he'll never hit a shot like that in his life again. And I don't know if that's true, but
I'm willing to say that that is the best goal I've ever seen a Napoli player score. For now,
I don't know, live because Maradona scored a few freaking amazing goals.
Yeah, but in my lifetime, you know what I mean? Like that I've seen.
Yeah,
I can't think of any other goals. Like, I mean, like I'm sure, like there's been plenty. Maybe Mertens' goal against Torino, I could say.
Cavani against Lecce?
No, you know what? Cavani's against Lecce is a screamer. Don't get me wrong, but
yeah,
I think maybe it's in contention with Politano's or Mertens. It's because for those goals, it just comes out of nothing. You know what I mean? You're just kind of like sitting there, and then all of a sudden that happens. You know, you're not really anticipating a shot like that from Politano or even like a chip. From Mertens.
To go up too, and yeah. You were just down. You know, you scored the equalizer 2 minutes before too. Here's another one, and I hate to bring this guy up because you know
it's Higuain, 100%.
He is who he is. Higuain's final goal with Napoli.
Right. That's a special
36th. Listen, if anything, if there's anything good that came from him, it was that season. You know, and those goals that he scored, but I mean, I want to put Politano. You know, that'd be a good topic for like the off season.
It's a good debate,
like ranking Napoli goals. You know, like I think that's a good debate to have. We'll put something on the socials and we'll see if we can get a response. But Politano scores, what a strike it was! And they turned things around right away. The ball that was 25 yards out, nothing to do with nothing for Di Gregorio to do, who's a fantastic keeper, by the way. And just like that, Napoli are leading. And then 3 minutes after that, it's that man who's out the door and who I was just not long before this really kind of, you know, being – I was kind of giving him – you know, giving him shit, like, you know, in my own head, like, you know, just get off my pitch. Like, I think it was something that happened in the first half where he didn't get to a ball. I think it was that one sequence where Kvara had the ball where there was no keeper. And,
Hey.
Yo. Hey.
What happened?
I have no idea.
I don't know. It gave me the beeping, like dung dung dung, like the other person went off. I don't know.
Are you still recording?
Yeah, I'm still recording.
All right. Don't worry about it. No, all right. So anyway, what I was saying was this. I was just giving Zielinski crap to my cousin, to myself, because in the first half, there was a moment in the first half. I'm sure you remember, but we had the ball. We were Di Gregorio was off his line, and I think it was where Osimhen took a shot or something like that. Osimhen had an opportunity, a one-on-one, and then was it Kvara that got the ball and couldn't get a decent shot off, and found, well, tried to find Zielinski, who was just kind of standing there and not really like running towards the goal or towards the ball. And
yeah, I think I remember this.
Yeah, it was a chance that we had, and I was just so like, get this freaking guy off my pitch. Like, I'm done with him, you know? Like he has no business there. And then the incredible goal he scores, you know.
You know, Rafa, even I'm sure you've seen a lot of my tweets about him throughout the season, and there's been,
yeah,
and most if not all of them are all negative, which, you know, I think I'm justified. I do, but
I believe that.
But it comes from a place of love and adoration for him, you know. Because if this was a guy that, you know, if it was like a, I don't know, pick your point, like a Mario Rui or something like that, where if he was going Inter, I kind of really wouldn't care. Even though I really like Mario Rui, I wouldn't care as much as I do for Zielinski. And this isn't because he's going to Inter. It's because of plenty of other factors that I'm not even going to go into. But, you know, it's so frustrating to watch him not give at least, even like 75% of his ability, because even 75% of his ability is more than most of what the guys on this team can give, you know? Because he's such a special player, and you know, he can make things happen out of nothing just like that. And yeah, I mean, it was really nice to see again, maybe a little throwback. I don't know how long it's going to last until the end of the season. Where maybe this kind of picks him up and he kind of wants to help us until the end of the season. Who knows? But it was nice to see, at least for Sunday.
I remember him. He had taken a shot, and I think it was against, might have been against Inter. It might have been the game before. But he had taken a shot where it hit off the post not long ago.
Oh, it was Atalanta. It was Atalanta. He almost scored.
It was the Atalanta game. Okay. Oh, that's right. He almost drew level, and then, you know, it would have been a different story. But you know, now he hits the underside of the crossbar this time from 20 yards out. You know, like we said, 4 minutes earlier, Politano with a 25-yard just golazo, and then Zielinski scores another one in the same form of it. Kvara had his initial shot blocked, and then regained the ball and laid it off to Zielinski, who just took a chance. That's in the 61st, and 1 minute later, Monza score again, and this time it was Colpani who comes right down to the other end and then takes aim for a tight angle on the edge of the box, and Juan Jesus. The ball caroms off of Juan Jesus and goes in Medet's right, which, you know, there was really not much Medet could do there either. It was a great shot, like I said, that was, you know, ricocheted off of Juan Jesus.
Colpani's really a fantastic player, by the way. I'm sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to
Colpani is an amazing player, and I'd love him on Napoli, to be honest with you. I think he's a wonderful talent. Should get a shout for the national team, and yeah, man, he's a good player, and he deserved that goal, and it was all good because you know, now we go from a 1-0 game, and in a matter of like 7-8 minutes, it's 3-2, and it's a firecracker of a game, honestly. So I was even we had the 2-goal cushion, so as Colpani scored, it was one of those things where I was just like laughing at it, like, what the hell? And then, you know, you see the replay and see that it comes off of Juan Jesus's thigh, and you're like, you know something, this Juan Jesus, like, I feel like he's a soldier of the team. Like, he's definitely loves Napoli, and the fans should love his adoration for this city and this team. But my God. And when he's and like, you know, we've said it all season long, he's been one of the most consistent defenders we've had. You know, the pairing between him and Rachmani just not working out that well.
Just shouldn't be a starter. It's that simple.
But he can't. Yeah, because then there comes a point in time, Dan, when he's not on, he's awful.
Right.
And it's when it comes heavy. and it makes everyone else bad. And, you know, it's crazy because Rahmani didn't have that bad of a game, in my opinion, you know, for this one. And it's
no,
all
you
on
did,
the Wanderers.
You're right.
You want to get behind him with all the stuff that's going on with him and Acerbi and the league and the racism and all that stuff. And you know, I love him, and I really do. I have nothing but respect and adoration and admiration and you know, props to him for being such a great human and a great soldier of Napoli. But God, where is Nathan? Why isn't Østergaard starting? Like, let's do something about that too. Like, you know, we made the changes in the lineup for the first half.
I mean,
that's got to be looked at also.
It's ridiculous. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, we're at a point in the season where why can't Nathan play? Like, why can't Østergaard play?
Bro, where's Mazzocchi?
Mazzocchi, you know? Because Di Lorenzo has been, oh my God. Like, oof.
Yeah,
you could do a whole episode. You could do a whole episode on Di Lorenzo and him and his mistakes. Like, oof. Horrendous.
But anyway, you know, moving on quickly, because I know we don't have much time here. A minute after the goal, we create a new chance where Osimhen could have made it 4-2. Di Gregorio came out of his line to deny him, but Osimhen was one-on-one.
There was a penalty in that play, by the way. Two penalties we didn't get.
That's right. Two penalties we didn't get. We should have gotten. One was in the first half, I believe.
With Ngong. Zerbin took down Ngong.
That's right. So, the double switch comes in. Kajus comes on for Zielinski, and Raspadori comes on for Kvara in the 68th minute. And once again, magic. Raspadori's first touch of the match, like, an unbelievable impact. And all he had to do was be in the right place, which I was getting frustrated with all game, where no one was on the other side. Like, you know, it frustrates me to no end when we put a cross in and there's no one on the other side at all, or there's no one, like, anywhere remotely close to goal. And Di Lorenzo,
it's just lack of effort
shot.
At that point, you know?
It's a lack of effort, man. But Di Lorenzo gets a shot off that is saved by Di Gregorio, but Raspadori meets the rebound and just cannons it into the back of the net. And you could see in his face, like it's funny because he pointed to his wrist as if he had a watch on, like, you know, he just came on, you know? And it was just... I love when he scores because he's so happy when he scores, and his smile and his laugh and his excitement is pretty infectious. And it was a 4-2, and it, you know, this meant something to the players. You know, I think we'll just end the you know, the game discussion there. You know, there were a few more. You know, Rui came in for Oliveira. You know, I will quickly read off the ratings. Medet was a 5.5, or a 5.5. Two goals given up, but aside from that, you know, not much else. You know, Oliveira ends up with a 7.1. Oliveira with a 7.1, Juan Jesus with a 5.6, I'm sorry, 6.6, Rahmani with a 7.3, who actually completed the most passes in the match with 72, Di Lorenzo with a dismal 6.6, Zielinski 7.9, got the goal, but was also the most accurate passer with 97% to play 45 minutes or more, which was pretty nice to see too. Lobotka, always a soldier of Napoli. In my opinion, Lobotka was the best player on the game, on the field against Atalanta.
He's the best player on the field almost every
for
game,
sure.
Man.
But specifically
player.
In the loss to Atalanta.
Yeah, and that Atalanta game is the only guy.
Than anybody else. Yeah, he was the only guy doing anything. He was the most fouled player in the match with 3. He got a 7.3. Anguissa with an 8.1, the beautiful assist. Plus, he also created the most chances in the match. Kvara with an 8.0. He got the assist, completed the most dribbles in the match. Osimhen, man of the match, 8.4. He got the star of the match. The goal there. And then Ngong with a 7.1. Like you said, decent, you know, decent performance for Ngong. We're going to get Politano gets a 7.7 for his efforts off the bench. Raspadori with a 7.5 for his. Obviously, they both scored. Cayuste and Mario Rui, 6.5, 6.1 respectively. The best player rated for Monza was actually beating Delhi with a 7.9. He provided the assist to... it was Zerbin with an 8. He got the assist off to Juric, and then beating Delhi assisted Kolpani. But there you have it. The table, that was big for us, bro. That was really big for
us. Huge win.
Monza, like I said, Monza with a win could have, you know, we were tied on points for a little bit, and now there's a 6-point cushion there. Napoli are sitting in seventh place, and they are only 2 points behind Atalanta in sixth, albeit Atalanta have the match in hand. That's the one against Fiorentina that was postponed because of John Brown's passing. That match might be rescheduled, not be able to be rescheduled until like the end of the season. It depends on what happens in Europe from here on out.
Right, because if Atalanta get knocked out, it doesn't matter. They could just reschedule it whenever.
Exactly. If Atalanta get knocked out, I think also.
Or forget about Fiorentina too. They got conference.
They're in the conference. Yeah. So it's gonna take a little bit. You know. Then there's also Fiorentina. They both play each other in the Coppa Italia too. So, anyway, yeah. So there's that. 2 points away from Atalanta, and 7 points out from Roma in fifth. Which it still looks like that fifth place spot will be a Champions League spot, and it sounds like it's a lot with 7 matches left to go, but. Listen to Roma's next few games, okay? They have to play Milan tomorrow, which we're recording on a Wednesday. It's Wednesday the 10th. We just did Champions League today. They have to play. Their next matches are against Milan tomorrow, Udinese on the road, and then Milan again in the second leg, but then Bologna, us, Juve, Atalanta, Genoa, Empoli, and that's it. That's the end of the season. But if they beat Roma, yeah, if they beat Roma, they go on in the semifinal of the Europa League. So honestly, we have to play them. If we can beat them, and if, you know, Roma-Bologna is going to be huge, then Roma have to play Juve and Atalanta. Juve don't want to finish anything less than third. You know, Atalanta in the league still want to try to get Europe. This may very well work out in our favor, if we can keep this up, Dan. If we can keep this up,
yeah. It remains to be seen. We need to put a few wins together. You know,
more than two games.
And they're more than doable. You know, a home match against Frosinone. You know. Exercise some demons from the Coppa Italia, and then an away Empoli match, which we've been very good away to Empoli as of late.
Yeah.
The past few seasons, you know, so it's not impossible. We could get these three wins. It's going to hinge on these three wins. It's going to hinge on these three, next two games. We could get three wins in a row here. Then, you know, I might be willing to say, something's brewing. You know what I mean? Something could brew, because then the next game is against Roma, and that's really the telltale game, you know.
True. Really quickly, I know we have to go because it's getting late, but the possibility of Napoli not making it to Europe now with this win, it feels a lot more like. And plus, don't forget, Lazio lost, Torino lost, Fiorentina lost, you know, Atalanta lost. Like, it could happen. We're Europe is probably going to happen, but there's been a lot of talk about Napoli possibly not making Europe this season. What's your stance on that? Like, do we have to, even if it's a conference league, like, what is it necessary to make Europe for the 15th or 16th, whatever it is, consecutive season?
I mean, honestly, if it's anything less than the Europa League, I'd rather not play it. I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay, but if it's conference league, are you, because honestly, dude, the way I see it is, if Napoli do slip into the conference league, there should be zero reason we don't win that thing.
No, we would be by far the best team. It was like you could probably win that tournament with like your eyes closed. But
well, I mean, but it could boost some confidence, you know? Like, I don't know.
I get it, but also,
go ahead. You just tell me why you'd rather not be in Europe if it comes to the Conference League.
It's just such a, I don't know, especially if, and I don't want to get off topic here because there's a layer to this, and it's the new coach.
Yeah.
That I'm about to bring up, and I'm sure you know where I'm going with this, with Conte.
I know where you're going with it, because I think, yeah, because I'm of the same opinion that if we don't, I mean, I'm also, here's the thing, Dan, if we don't make Europe and Conte comes in, it's probably Conte's best situation.
That's his best situation. That's where he works best.
Yeah. He's not very good in Europe.
No.
A. And B, go back to that team that he took over for Juventus. They were not in Europe. They finished the season unbeaten. Until
he did it twice, man. He did it with Juve and then he did it with Chelsea.
Okay. See? And he came in and took an Inter that was banter era and turned them into champions. And I was so against it when the talks were coming in, but it also had to do with, mainly to me, it had to do with the fact that he's a 3-5-2 guy. We don't have the players. He and De Laurentiis wouldn't work out, blah, blah, blah. But after looking at all the reports that are coming in saying how ADL is going to splash cash on him and also give him carte blanche with no penalty on or no restriction on who to sign. Like,
but that's the thing. That's the important part. You have to give this guy the players he needs to play his system. You can't.
Do you see
how? And you, as De Laurentiis, after this season, you have to just sit there and just not say a word to him. Just give him the money he wants and let him do it. You know what I mean?
Do you realize how important the system in which ADL operates is now more than ever the most important factor of this team? Like, if we had done what every fan wanted us to do and spent the big bucks on a guy like Benzema or got into financial trouble with FFP, with all these other, they were already breathing down our necks about Osimhen. Imagine if we'd gotten two other players valued like Osimhen had been. Or you know, everybody complained about how ADL operated this team, and we were always so close, and never got to that spot. At this point, we are in the position to be able to give Conte some money for his pocket, and then give Conte the money to make his team. Because, okay, even if we don't make the Champions League, I think for me it is imperative that it's Conte and nobody else. Because if we don't make the Champions League, we are selling Osimhen, so we're going to have double the money that we would have made. Obviously, making double Champions League money off of Osimhen and also qualifying for the Champions League would be better. Obviously, I'm not here saying, oh, we're better off not qualifying for the Champions League. That's not what I'm saying, Dan. But what I'm saying is that if we don't qualify for the Champions League, we at least have the money from the sale of Osimhen, and we have the funds available because we're no debt to make it worth Conte's while. And without Champions League, to me, one of the only managers that can attract players Champions League caliber is Antonio Conte. Right?
Yeah.
Like, Napoli is still a team.
He's been somebody that I've wanted on Napoli since his Juve days. Honestly, right. I can't agree with that.
I definitely don't agree with that because, well, not that I don't agree with that, but I'm opposite in your views when it came to that. I was totally against Conte coming in. I thought it would be a complete shit show, and it might still be after two seasons when something doesn't go wrong, when something doesn't go right his way. He'll probably blame everyone else and then be out. You know what I'm saying?
No, but the thing with me is that I think he was right for refusing to come in the middle of the season because we were such a disaster and the team was not built for him. He's looking for a team to be built for him. If he gets a summer, then you could do that. You know what I mean? You can't do that. Like what Mazzarri tried to do.
No, I 100% you know, agree Mazzarri
is a perfect example of how it would have been with Conte. I'm not saying they're the same caliber coach, but I'm just saying when you try to change a formation drastically in the middle of the season when players aren't really built for your style of play, this is what happens. A Mazzarri happens. You know what I mean? Yeah. A situation like that where the guy, you know, he wants to implement his style, but with guys that have zero clue about how to play that soccer, you know?
Yeah.
And it would have been such a waste of time. Who knows if Conte would have even made it to the end of the season, you know?
So Meluso will not be renewing, and it looks like Napoli are going with the ex Juve, I think he's the ex-Juve youth.
Yeah, he was a Juve dirigent. I don't know. He was a director there. I don't remember what. I think he, like, the responsabile. He was, like, responsible for the youth sector in some sort.
Right. Right. His name is escaping me. I'm quickly trying to look it
Manna.
Up. What's that?
Manna.
Manna. That's right. Manna. Yes,
I think Gianluca Manna or something. I don't
Gianluca
remember his
Manna.
First name.
I believe that's what it is. Gianluca Manna. Apparently he's accepted and is already pretty much taking his role. There's a lot of players that are linked to us now too. I saw something about some defense from Atletico. I think it was
Hermoso.
That's right, Hermoso. Yes.
That guy's very reliable, too, by the way. The DAZN reporter that reported that, Orazio Accomando or something.
Yes,
like that.
So follow him. That's right. And, you know, honestly, I believe that that's the right move to make. And it's exactly what I had said is going to happen. You know, you're going to get the DS is going to be pretty much wrapped up by March, April. And in the middle of April, you're going to get a manager that's saying yes. And as soon
thank
as the
God.
Season's over.
Thank God, Rafa, because
this
clearly
is how he's
stays,
always operated.
This is, but no, people, but this isn't, though, because last season he didn't do this.
Okay, no.
You know?
Obviously, besides last season, which I said, I'm on record saying, is a wash. That last season, off season, was that last summer was an anomaly. It was something we've never had to deal with. He didn't understand how to I truly believe that it was an ADD moment for ADL.
I get it. No, I totally understand. And what I was trying to say was, it's nice to see that he clearly understood his mistakes last season and he's fixing it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And starting off with the DS is how you fix it.
That's it. And when we come off of a season where we are so close yet so far or are, you know, teetering between Champions and Europa, you know, that's how we've been operating. But last season was a Scudetto party that everybody overlooked the fact that Spalletti wasn't happy with the renewal and that Giuntoli wanted out since January. And ADL thought, oh, the Scudetto is enough, and, you know, we're going to take care of things myself, this and that. Like this is proper ADL business.
Right.
You know, I'm looking at Kiss now, Conte, Napoli, Giorni Decisivi, you know. Il tecnico ha fatto un discorso a staff e famiglia. Like, he's ready, man. It's coming.
I really hope, man. I really, truly hope. And honestly,
$24 million for a 3-year contract and carte blanche. And
yeah, it makes sense.
Like, dude.
I don't know if you know, there's an I listened to this Italian podcast, Cronache di Spogliatoio.
Oh wow! Okay.
I don't know if you've ever heard of them. They're really good.
But I'll have to check them out. Yeah,
yeah, they're awesome. There's Christian Borghi. He's a great an analyst.
Christian Borghi. Yes.
Yeah, you've definitely heard his commentary before. Yes. There's Giuseppe Pastore. He's on Twitter a lot. He knows like everything about Serie A. You could tell him, tell me all the results from round 32 of 96-97 season. He'll tell you all the results and the goal scores. He's insane, this guy. And then there's Trevisani. You definitely know Trevisani.
Oh, Trevisani, I know. Yeah,
Trevisani. So really, like, well-established guys on this podcast. And they were just saying, like, you know, talking about Napoli. And it's like, where do they go from here? You know, obviously they got into talking about the new coach. And they said they were talking about, because this was around, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago, where Conte's name finally started coming up again. They're like, you know, if they were to get Conte, regardless of what place they are in the what place they finish in, if they keep the core players, I mean, obviously, you know, Osimhen's probably leaving, but if they can replace Osimhen with someone good and get Conte, that's them right back in the Scudetto race, you know. And these are people, these are well established calcio people, you know, saying that. It's not just me, it's not just you, you know, that are biased.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah, that's the effect that he has, you know?
And you know, there's also another article I'm looking at. The headline says ADL pronto a chiamare commisso per quarta, Martinez quarta, pupillo di Italiano and buono anche per Conte. So, you know, good now player. We're looking at and we're looking at moves that make sense for Conte. And And honestly, man, it's making me very excited. But we still have work to do. 7 games left. We, you know, it would be best if we made it to the Champions League. But if we don't, guys, listen, we're going to be fine. We'll play in the Europa League. We'll play in the Conference League. It's fine. It's fine. I know you don't want to play in the Conference League, Dan. But I will take another season of Europe, because we just need to be in the conversation. We need to be in Europe. We need to have, you know, even without Europe, would be a fresh start with Conte, and we'll be back. But honestly, I think if we do make the Conference League, we can treat it as if we're not in Europe and just kind of, you know.
You kind of vibe through it, yeah.
Vibe through it, and then, like, if we win that thing, we win it, and Conte gets his first European trophy, whatever. You know what I mean? It's all good. But Dan, I had a great time with you. We'll
always
be back
pleasure,
soon.
Man.
Yes, we'll try to get back together next week to talk about the Frosinone game and any sort of changes to the situation with Conte and Mana and whatever happens. We'll be on to talk about it. But hey, man, take care. We'll see
take
you next
care,
week,
man.
Everybody.
Hopefully,
enjoy.
Next week is another happy episode.
Yep. That's right. I hope so, man. And, you know, as always, Forza Napoli.
Sempre.
Ciao, ciao. Stai da fronte.